Continuing, discussing the name Bhaktivatsala. This is the third talk on this name that in my exposition of Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, he is Vatsala to all. All living beings are his parts and parcels. So he loves them all. He's affectionate and protective to all his parts and parcels. But he's especially Bhaktivatsala, he's especially affectionate to those who approach him in love. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that he gives to Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, chapter 18, text 11, the Lord is impartial in every respect, but still he is inclined towards his devotees because there is a great necessity of this for everyone's well-being. The Pandava family was a family of devotees, and therefore the Lord wanted them to rule the world. This is a very meaningful statement. Often when we're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we find something, we may have read it many times, and then it suddenly strikes us that there's something particularly significant here. Srila Prabhupada here gives the reason, or a reason, why he is inclined to, why the Supreme Lord is inclined towards devotees. Why? He's Bhaktivatsala because he's Vatsala. He's especially inclined toward his devotees because he wants to benefit everyone. So he's inclined toward his devotees. This particular instance is given. He wanted the Pandavas to rule the world, because that would be good for all the living beings in the world. So in this way, his bhakta-vatsalya, his particular affection for his devotees, that is intimately linked with his affection for all living beings. He wanted Duryodhana out of the monarchy, because if the Pandavas were ruling and their devotees, Duryodhana is not a devotee. So by having the same functions, the functions were done by Duryodhana, later they were done by Yudhishthira, of collecting taxes, overseeing the benefit of the people, receiving guests, seeing that everyone's following their occupational duty, punishing miscreants. There may not have been many in the kingdom of Yudhishthira Maharaj. The same administrative functions were going on. The same protection of the citizens was going on. The same sacrifices were performed by the brahmanas. But because the Pandavas were devotees of Krishna, then naturally, Krishna consciousness permeated throughout the kingdom, throughout the whole empire. An understanding that everything, Krishnarte Akhila Cheshta, everything should be done for the pleasure of Krishna, because that's the mood of the king. And that permeates down to not only permeates, but is deliberately propagated by saintly kings. Now, I'm going to read from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, from a section which describes the topmost devotees of the Lord. And there are one word or two words. In Sanskrit, sometimes it's difficult to... Well, you can say, if you say it's one word, it's right, and if you say it's two words, it's also right. You have to know a little bit about Sanskrit to understand that. But here the word or words, pranaya rashanaya. These are very significant. They mean bound by the ropes of love. So I'll read the Sanskrit and then I'll read the translation which is given. Visrajati hridayang nayasya sakshad dharir avasha bihito pyano ghoga nashaha. Pranaya Rashanaya Dhritangri Padma Sabhavati Bhagavat Pradhana Uktaha Yeah, this is a description of the Bhagavat Pradhana, the topmost level of devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the conditioned souls that if they call upon him by speaking his holy name, even unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord is declined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in their hearts. So this is a general description of Krishna as Vatsala. Then the translation goes on, following the Sanskrit, of course. Therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Lord can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus bound the Supreme Lord's lotus feet within his heart with the ropes of love is to be known as Bhagavata Pradhana, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. So this describes one who has bound up the Supreme Lord's lotus feet within his heart with the ropes of love. And reading from the purport, sounds a bit funny, doesn't it? Tying up with ropes Krishna. Well, wait a minute. We know very well tying up Krishna with ropes from the Damodar Leela. Mother Yashoda tied up Krishna. Well, that was with ropes. Ropes of love and with real ropes. Not metaphorical ropes, but actual ropes. From the purport to this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has nicely explained the process of bringing the Supreme Lord under control. The process of bringing the Supreme Lord under control. That sounds contradictory, doesn't it? If he's the Supreme Lord, it means he's the Supreme Controller. That's what we have to learn when we study Bhagavad Gita, that he is the controller. He's in charge. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridyeshe juna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. All the living beings in this world are as if on a machine. Means various bodies are given by material nature, and the Supreme Lord in the heart of everyone directs their wanderings. He is Gita again, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He is the Supreme Lord and controller of all living beings and living beings thereon. Now who's going to control him? Well, who tries to control the Supreme Lord? The demons. Hiranyakashipu wanted to subdue the Supreme Lord. Before him, Hiranyaksha. And then we had Ravana. They couldn't control him. Such powerful demons. So, what is the process of bringing the Supreme Lord under control? Let's go to that village, Vrindavan, and ask this cow. We could do an interview. So, Mother Yashoda, could you please tell us how you brought the Supreme Lord under control? You know, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Supreme Lord? Oh, you mean I tied up Krishna? Oh, yeah. Some people say he's the Supreme Lord. Some funny people, they say he's the Supreme Lord. Well, Mother Yashoda bound child Krishna to a grinding mortar with a rope. Okay, well, mothers do that. It's a standard punishment. It's not only that Krishna got bound up with a rope, it's a standard punishment that when the child is too naughty, you tie them with a rope around the waist to something solid like a grinding mortar. And so it's like tying up a dog on a leash. They can run around a little bit, but not very far. So it gives them a little room to play, but at the same, or you tie a cow, that's done. You tie the cow and put a stake in the earth so they can grow, graze in a certain area, but they can't wander off here and there. So it's a standard thing. Krishna's not the only Damodar. It's a standard thing that, maybe not nowadays, but until recently, the mothers would tie the children, and then the children, instead of causing mischief, they could just play in a certain area. So Krishna, Mother Yashoda bound child Krishna to a grinding mortar with a rope. Nothing very unusual in that. So Mother Yashoda, could you please tell her? Wait a minute, I just tied him up. Everyone does that, right? I mean, all the mothers do that with their kids. Krishna, being attracted by the inconceivable love of his devotees, allowed himself to be bound. Therefore, although Lord Krishna binds all the conditioned souls by the chains of his illusory potency, Maya, if those same conditioned souls become pure devotees of the Lord, they can in turn bind Krishna by the chains of love of God. You bound me up, you tied me up with the ropes of illusion for so long, now I'm going to tie you up. It's not revenge, it's like that. It's not a revenge. Now I'm going to tie you up, tit for tat. Krishna likes to be tied up. Krishna being tied up by the love of his devotees is very, very different from being tied up. The three gunas. Guna means rope. That's one of the meanings of the word guna. I actually heard it once in Shillet district in Bangladesh. Maybe it's used in Shilleti Upabhasha, the Shilleti dialect. But I heard that word guna being used for rope. all that. So, want to tie up God? Follow in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda. Or, more realistic, because it's not every devotee who gets to tie up God, we can meditate upon Mother Yashoda tying up Krishna, which we do for at least 1 month a year, the month which we call the Damodar month. Rudantang mohur netra yugmang rijantam karam bhoja yugmena satanka netram muhushwasakam patri rekanka kanta stita graiva damodarang bhakti badham. So here we have the words bhakti badham. Tied, bound up by bhakti, by love. So the translation, upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda. He's afraid. The children, they love their mother, but they can be afraid also, because the mother punishes also. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick. And as Mother Yashoda bound his belly with ropes, he shivered in fright, trembled, kampa. He trembled in fright. And his pearl necklace, griva. Griva is a word for necklace, means on the griva, on the neck. His pearl necklace shook. To this supreme Lord, Damodar, who is bound with his devotees' love, I offer my humble obeisances. So Krishna is fully dependent on Mother Yashoda and afraid of her. She's in a superior position. This is Vatsalya Bhav. Krishna is known as Bhakta Vatsala. One who is in a superior position can show Vatsalya, or protective, affectionate love to another. So Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. But when we go beyond Vaikuntha, then we can experience how the devotees, they exhibit Vatsalya toward Krishna. Mother Yashoda thinks, if I don't feed my child, he'll become very thin and weak. And what they feed him is just impossible for anyone normally to eat more than maybe someone could eat the kind of food that Krishna eats daily. They could maybe eat, someone with an immense appetite could maybe eat it once. But every day, the way Krishna eats, it's impossible. Even children, they have good appetites. Young boys have good appetites. But the way Krishna eats, and Mother Yashoda, she feeds him so many items. Radhikar paka ana bibidha banjan. Radha, she cooks rice and all kinds of vegetables. So many preparations for Krishna. Rohini Mata, she cooks all the different devotees. Tungi, she cooks. They all cook preparations. Tungi means Krishna's one aunt. So they cook so many preparations, and Krishna and the cowherd boys, they eat it, and by midday they're hungry again. And then again they come at night and eat a big meal. Mother Yashoda thinks, I have to feed him, and he's afraid of her. But at the same time, twice it's described in Bhagavatam, twice she saw within the mouth of Krishna the whole universe. So she, ontologically, she is dependent upon him, as the whole universe is dependent upon him. But in terms of loving relationship, he is dependent on her, as a son is dependent on the mother, especially a very young son. So we went from Bhaktavatsala to how Mother Krishna becomes dependent on Mother Yashoda. But that's another feature of his love for his devotees, that he allows them to take a superior position. But then he doesn't allow them, because when Krishna, as the son of Mother Yashoda, he doesn't go around thinking, actually I'm God and I'm just playing a game. No, he is the son. He is afraid. When he's shivering with fear as Mother Yashoda captures him with, and she has a stick in her hand, he's actually afraid. He doesn't think, I'm God and I'm just playing a game to make her feel good. He doesn't feel, he's actually afraid. And that fear is part of his bliss. It's inconceivable. Inconceivably, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Mother Yashoda controls him. She's not the only one. In a purport in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes, the highest quality of the Supreme Lord, the highest quality, is that he is Bhaktavatsala. In other words, he is always extremely pleased with his devotees. So there you go, the highest quality. Krishna is all attractive. Why is he all attractive? It's not just some religious dogma that we say Krishna means all attractive. Krishna is all attractive. You can write in your Bhakti Shastra exam, Krishna means all attractive. What does it mean? He has the quality, he has qualities by which he is attractive, transcendental qualities. So he has unlimited transcendental qualities. And the highest quality of all is that he is Bhaktavatsala. He is always extremely pleased with his devotees. So this name is very important, doesn't it? Bhaktavatsala. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranama, he says that Bhaktavatsala means he is always desirous, Vatsala, of his devotees, Bhakta. Bhaktajan, Prajumna sent me. I didn't look at that yet. He's always desirous of his devotees. On the other hand, Rudra and the other demigods become angry at their own devotees and ruin them. This is interesting, huh? Because Krishna is always desirous of doing good to his devotees. Sometimes he gives the devotees material distress. Whereas the votaries of different demigods, the demigods they can give things to their votaries which will harm. I'm not using the word here, votary, instead of devotee. If you don't know what it means, look it up in the dictionary. It means something like devotee. Something like that. But there's no real devotion. That's the point. There's no real devotion. That's why we speak of Krishna bhakti. We can say Kali bhakti and Shiva bhakti, but it's not really the proper use of the term, because Krishna is bhajaniya. He is the one who is to be worshipped. No one else. Well, others can be worshipped, but only in relation to Krishna. So, demigods, they give boons, mayaiva vihitan hitan. They get the power to do so. Ultimately, it's Krishna who gives. But they do so without thinking of the ultimate benefit of their followers, in many cases. So we see that Hiranyakashipu got boons from Brahma, which were horrible for the world, because Hiranyakashipu, he got powers which caused great distress in the world and ultimately led to the destruction of Hiranyakashipu. In one sense, you can say it's good, because the boons that were given by Brahma, they caused Lord Narasimha to appear in this world. But then afterwards, Narasimha told Brahma, don't give boons like that again. You're intelligent. You've got four heads more than most. Well, you've got three heads more than most people. And they're all very good heads. You know, the Vedas come out of them and manifest from them, and from his mind, and of course ultimately the Vedas manifest from Narayana, and ultimately they're eternal. So don't do that anymore. So then Ravana, he goes to Shiva and gets boons from Shiva, and again the boons are although they are boons, and Ravana enjoys this world for some time, he causes the world to cry, therefore he's called Ravana. He used the boons to make the world cry, and ultimately he had to cry himself. He was destroyed himself. So there are many instances of Lord Shiva giving boons. Vrikasura is there just toward the end of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. The boon came, boomeranged on himself and caused his own destruction. But Krishna doesn't do that. Krishna may interact with a devotee in a way that he seems that he's destroying them. But Krishna is not that. He's not just said, come and, oh, can I have a boon? Okay, take it. And then, all right, go away and do whatever you like. But Krishna is keeping an eye on his devotee, and he gives to the devotee whatever that devotee needs, so the devotee can come closer to him. So devotees should know, whatever situation we're in, and sometimes very hard to realize it, sometimes very hard to understand, why is this happening to me? But we should know that Krishna has a plan for us. Krishna is all kind. Bhishma Dev said this. It's very difficult to understand the plan of the Lord, that why should the Pandavas, who are so pious and so devoted, Krishna is their personal friend, why did they have to go through so much suffering? Bhishma said, the most wise person said, we can't understand exactly, but ultimately it's all the plan of Krishna. Here's a quote from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, chapter 14, Prayers Offered by Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna. Now, in this quote, the name Achyuta comes in. Achyuta is an important name that has already been discussed in Vishnu Sahasranam. Generally means infallible. So here's the quote from Krishna book. Brahma addressed Lord Krishna as a tutor because the Lord is never forgetful of a little service rendered by his devotee. He is so kind and affectionate toward his devotees that a little service by them is accepted by him as a great deal. So that's one reason why he's called a tutor. We may think he's Bhakta Vatsala, but you know, he's a busy fellow up there. He's got a lot of people to look after, and he can't keep a track of them all. He might just forget me. No, Krishna, he's a tutor. He won't fail in his vow to look after his devotees. We discussed that yesterday with quotes from Hari Bhakti Kalpa Latika, that don't feel discouraged thinking that Krishna, he has so many devotees, so many great personalities are serving him, and why should he bother about little old me? Well, Krishna is so kind. He will. His vow. Kaunteya pratijani hi name bhakta pranashyati. His vow is that my devotee will never perish. And he says to Arjuna, you declare it. You say it, because I will protect your promise. If you say it, people will believe you. They won't believe me because, after all, I'm from Mathura. And, you know, people from Mathura, no one can trust them, right? They're always telling lies. Vishwanath Chakravarti gives this commentary on this verse. But apart from that, Krishna can give promises and he can break them. As he will demonstrate just a few days later, that he'd already promised never to lift anything as a weapon during the battle. He's taking part in the battle, but only as a charioteer. Charioteers don't fight. They only steer the chariot. But then, Ratangapani, that name we'll find in the Bhagavatam also, a famous, well, fairly famous name of Krishna. He took the broken part of the rut, the chariot. Because on the battlefield, so it was the end of the day, and so many chariots are being smashed and broken, and animals killed and left, the horses groaning and is half dead on the battlefield, and men half dead and getting trampled. And I just wondered who. There must have been someone coming to clear up the whole scene after a day's battle during the night, because how do you go to battle the next day? Maybe there was a huge battle. I don't know. They had a big plane. Maybe they went to a different part of the plane. I don't know. Maybe someone could look that up. But anyway, Krishna took a chariot wheel, which is part of the chariot. Then you get to the Buddhist example. If you dismantle the chariot, there's no chariot, blah, 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 blah. So Krishna broke his own promise to fulfill the promise of Bhishma Dev. The promise of his devotee is more important than his own promise. So Krishna told Arjuna, you tell it that my devotee will never perish. Krishna is a tutor because he upholds this promise. He will never fail in his promise to protect his devotee. Therefore, he's called Bhakta Vatsala. We have to have faith in that because this world is very, very difficult, especially in this Kali Yuga, this age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It's a very, very difficult age as we're all experiencing. We may be trying to cut ourselves off from all the difficulties. It's a very, very difficult time. Maybe a lot of people spend a lot of their life's energy is just trying to cushion themselves from the difficulties all around them. And if they're not able to physically do that, they may do it by taking some intoxicant or becoming absorbed in watching sports or watching all kinds of weird and useless things on YouTube and just forgetting or just pretending that everything's nice in the world when it's not. But actually this world is a very, very nasty place. But Krishna is there with us. And if we go to Krishna, we might experience more nastiness of this world as Krishna's gift to us, so that we can realize more and more that I'm only meant to serve Krishna. This name, Bhaktavatsala, we can go on discussing. Like all the names, we can go on discussing forever. But in particular, I'm thinking of this name because everything he does is for his devotees. Everything he does, he comes to this world particularly to lift up his devotees, but actually for the benefit of all living beings in the world. And so everything, when we study Bhagavatam and all the different pastimes, then what's he doing? It's all Bhaktavatsala. Everything Krishna is doing is for the pleasure of his devotees. All the Bhagavatam is about Krishna protecting, nourishing, nurturing, giving love to his devotees. Just some examples. The whole Bhagavatam is like that, but the name Bhaktavatsala actually comes in Bhagavatam several times, specifically the name Bhaktavatsala, although his Bhaktavatsalya, his love for his devotees, is there in every syllable of Bhagavatam and in all the narrations of Bhagavatam, but the specific name is given in the first canto in relation to his saving Parikshit in the womb. And then again in the first, by saving Parikshit in the womb, it specifically said he's Bhaktavatsala because by doing so, Krishna pleased Uttara and the Pandavas. Then again, in the first canto, Krishna entered Dwaraka, pleasing the citizens of Dwaraka. Therefore, he's known as Bhaktavatsala. Up to the present time, Krishna is pleasing the citizens of Dwaraka. You can go to Dwaraka on the west coast of India, and Dwarakadhish is there, and all the citizens of Dwaraka, they all live, I'm talking about Dwaraka in this world as we can perceive it, in the Christian or Anno Domini 2021. Right now, I'm not talking about 5,000 years ago or in the spiritual world, right now we can go to Dwaraka and we'll see Dwarakadhish is there and all the citizens of Dwaraka, they live in love with Dwarakadhish. They feel directly his protection and his love. So when he entered 5,000 years ago during his pastimes, Dwaraka, he did so pleasing the citizens, and all the citizens are his devotees. And up to the present time in Dwaraka, all the citizens are devotees of Krishna. This name, Bhaktavatsala, comes again in the sixth canto when Lord Vishnu reveals himself to Daksha. Now, Daksha doesn't come across from the description as a very specifically devotional person, but he's there in the Bhagavatam. He offered prayers, Hansaguya prayers, to Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu was pleased with him that Lord Vishnu appeared to him. So Lord Vishnu considered him his devotee and gave him the service of bringing population into the world. That's in the sixth canto. In the seventh canto, we find Shiva saying to Nrisimhadev about Prahlad. He's saying, "Your Bhaktavatsala, please protect this boy." Lord Shiva may think, you see, Prahlad, now he has no father, and all the demons are there, and all the demons, whoever's left alive, they may not be very happy because of Prahlad, not only Nrisimha, not only Hiranyakashipu, but so many demons were killed. So Nrisimha is very angry, and Shiva's saying to him, you know, cool down a bit, protect here. Your mood of anger is for the demons, but now here's your devotee in front of you, so please protect him, being Bhaktavatsala. In the 10th canto, the Vrajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan, understanding at this point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so they do understand that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they don't understand it in the same way that we do, with awe and reverence. So they call him Bhaktavatsala. When they're asking Krishna to protect them from the wrath of Indra, that Indra is sending these so much rain, and we are harassed, and you see, there, each Vrajavasi, he'll think, all the others, they're all devotees, so Krishna, you protect your devotees. They address him as Bhaktavatsala. Then, in the 10th canto, it comes quite a few times, Akrura says to Krishna and Balaram, because Akrura takes Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan to Mathura. They reach the gates of the city, and Akrura thinks that, okay, we'll go right into the city and go to my house. But Krishna and Balaram said, no, we'll stop here and we'll wait outside the gates tonight, and then we'll go into the city tomorrow, because they arrived in the evening. But Akrura said, don't leave me here. I brought you this far. Don't leave me here now. Come with me into the city of Mathura. Come to my home. And Krishna said, certainly I will. Certainly I will. Yeah, Akrura said to Krishna and Balaram, you're Bhaktavatsala, don't abandon me here now. I'm your devotee, and you're kind to your devotees. You're Bhaktavatsala, so don't abandon me. And Krishna said, first, I must satisfy all my friends and well-wishers by killing Kamsa. So business first, we have important business. Business first, pleasure later. Krishna's dutiful also. Then we find, again, Akrura involved in this. Later, when Akrura visited, he went to Indraprastha, and he visited the palace, the kingdom ruled by Duryodhana, and Kunti said to Akrura, does Krishna remember his cousins, the Pandavas? Krishna's Bhaktavatsala, he's affectionate to his devotees. Does he remember his cousins, his devotees? Then Krishna said to Muchukunda. Krishna said to Muchukunda, who was in the cave, having a good sleep, didn't get up for Mangalati for a few yugas. Krishna said to him, I came because I'm Bhaktavatsala and you're my devotee. In the past, you repeatedly prayed to me. Then Yamuna Devi also says to Balaram, and Balaram, he's getting angry. And then, you know, when you drink, when you become intoxicated by drinking, sometimes it can happen that people get very angry and they may do something which they wouldn't normally think of. So Balaram, in his intoxicated state, was thinking of punishing Yamuna. And Yamuna said, you're Bhaktavatsala, I'm your devotee, don't do it. So a total 10 times in the Bhagavatam, the name Bhaktavatsala, plus one time it comes for Lord Shiva with respect to Banasura, because Lord Shiva was very inclined to Banasura. Lord Shiva, he It was a bit different to Hiranyakashipu, it was a bit different to Ravana and Vrikasura. Actually, Lord Shiva had some affection for Banasura, because Banasura would play the drum with 1,000 arms, and Lord Shiva, he can dance very nicely, because his dancing, that's a very important part of Lord Shiva, that's an important part of his role in Krishna's service, is to dance his famous Tandava Nritya. And you can go, I'm here in the Tamil country, so we can go to Chidambaram and visit this spectacular temple of Nataraj, the dancing Lord Shiva. Mostly we see Shiva temples. There's the Linga, the genital of Lord Shiva, but here he's in his dance of destruction, very, very amazing temple, and the amazing deity of Nataraj. So he's also called Bhaktivatsala in Bhagavatam. And also, Srila Prabhupada referred to Krishna as Bhaktivatsala for one pastime, which is recounted in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. That Bhumasura had kidnapped 16,100 girls, and Krishna married them all out of his kindness to them. Otherwise, socially, they were in a disastrous position. And apart from that, they were all his devotees. So he married them all. And Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna married them all because he is Bhaktavatsala. He fulfilled their transcendental desire to love him as wives. Eventually, Krishna did visit the house of Akrura after killing Kamsa. And at that point, Akrura said to Krishna, Kaf panditas twadaparang sharanang samiyad bhakta priyadrita gira suhrida kritagyat sarvanda dati suhrido bhajato bhikaman atmanamapyuchaya pachayau nayasya. So we have the words here, bhakta priya, which means he's very, this, in this context, it means his devotees are very dear to him. He's very affectionate to his devotees. Then Ritagira, his words to his devotees are always true, because Krishna had promised to come to his house later. Suhrida, he is the very heart-to-heart friend, the very great well-wisher of his devotees. And Kritagya, he's grateful. Akrura did a service for Krishna and Balaram. Of course, the Vrajvasis don't think it's a service, but Krishna, should we say it or not, Krishna's not only in Vrindavan. He has devotees outside Vrindavan also. So Krishna is also very grateful to his devotees, and therefore the translation is given of Akrura speaking to Krishna, what learned person would approach anyone but you for shelter when you are the affectionate, grateful, and truthful well-wisher of your devotees? To those who worship you in sincere friendship, you reward everything they desire, even your own self, yet you never decrease or diminish. Now, we have in the Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 3, Text 2, not exactly the word Bhaktavatsala, but Bhagavatavats. Bhagavan Bhagavata Vatsalyataya. This appears in this text. It's not exactly a verse, it's prose. So it's very similar. Bhagavan Bhakta Vatsalyataya. And the translation Srila Prabhupada has given as follows. The Lord is affectionate to his devotees. So Bhagavat Vatsalya refers to he who is Bhagavat Vatsal, which is the same as Bhakta Vatsal. So the Lord is affectionate to his devotee. Therefore, when Maharaj Nabi, because this is describing Maharaj Nabi's sacrifices, therefore when Maharaj Nabi, who was a devotee, worshipped and offered prayers to the Lord with great faith and devotion and with a pure, uncontaminated mind, superficially performing some yajna in the line of pravargya. Pravargya means certain karma kandya rituals. So Nabi Maharaj is doing that, but he was doing it not for materialistic motives. So the kind Supreme Personality of Godhead, due to his affection for his devotees, appeared before King Nabi in his unconquerable and captivating form with four hands, in this way to fulfill the desire of his devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested himself in his beautiful body before his devotee. This body pleases the mind and eyes of the devotee. So generally people worship the Supreme Lord in fruitive activities. They offer sacrifice because they want to get something from him. And in reciprocation, the Lord may give material things, but Maharaj Nabi was doing such sacrifices, as is his duty as a king to organize such public major sacrifices. But his own personal desire in doing, the king organizes such sacrifices for the welfare of the whole society, all the citizens and all the living beings in the kingdom. But Nabi Maharaj's actual desire was to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nabi is also the father of Rishabdev. That comes a little later there in the fifth canto. So Krishna fulfilled his desire, and his desire was to see the Lord, because the Lord is so beautiful and mind captivating, and the Lord fulfilled his desire. Similarly, we have in Bhagavatam in the 10th canto a similar term to Bhaktivatsala. Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman, the personality of Godhead who is devoted to his own devotees. Bhakti means to have devotion to the Supreme Lord. One who has devotion is called a bhakta. And one who has bhakti, one who has devotion is called bhaktiman, means one who has the quality of bhakti. So Bhagavan is bhakta bhaktiman. He has bhakti for his bhakta. This was stated in regard to his devotees in the city of Mithila, Maharaj Bahulashva, and the materially indigent Shrutadev. I'll finish there. I hope that those who are listening, I'm pretty sure that those who are listening, those who listen, they're getting spiritual nourishment and bliss and enthusiasm for devotional service. I'm pretty sure that those who are listening are getting that, because that is the nature of Krishna Katha. And I'm very happy to speak about Krishna, taking this format of Vishnu Sahasranam, and I pray for the blessings of the devotees, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of Bhishma Dev, of Vaishampayana, of Vyasa Dev, and of course of Srila Prabhupada, who is Sarva Deva Maya Guru. He's the representative of all these great personalities. I pray for their mercy, so that I may continue to discuss these glorious names of the all-glorious Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya trinakam padaya nipatya kritva chaka kushatame tadaham bravimi he sadava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charane kurutanuragaha parivadatu jano yatatatava nanomokaro navayang vicharayamaha Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.